Today's reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 20, on page 1181 of the Church Bibles. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
For our regulars here, you'll know that we're just coming to the end of a little series on Paul's epistle, wonderful words we use, to the Philippians. And might I say, as I said a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching about Philippians, it's a letter. Paul was writing to his pals in Philippi. It's a happy, joyful letter, a thankful letter, but it's a letter. And we get terribly tied up if we're not careful. This is an epistle in the Bible, and therefore it's a bit different to a letter. And I would just plead with you, as I did last time, to sit and read the letter that Paul wrote to his friends in Philippi. Get the most modern translation you can. The message is wonderful. I've used this time, the New Testament, for everyone. Tom Wright, who was a bishop in Durham and decided that his gifts really were in the academic world, gave up his bishopric and headed to St. Andrew's University. But again, it's good modern English, and you can just sit, read. It takes about 20 minutes. And once you've read it, it's like a letter from an old friend of yours. And you get it excitedly and read the letter. And when you've read the whole thing, you then say, oh, what did she say about her eldest son, Richard? Which university? And you thumb back a couple of pages and read about Richard. And oh, that's what we've been doing. We're thumbing back and looking at little sections of this great letter. But it's a letter. It's a letter. Just sit and read it over this Christmas. It's great to read. It's written by Paul, who was in jail at the time, not for the first time. He was weary. He spent 20 years wandering his way around. And again, if you were to get this New Testament for everyone, Tom Wright, there's a whole lot of interesting little maps. You can see the enormous distances that Paul travelled in order to get to the different churches that he founded and built up. He had his problems, 2 Corinthians 11. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and danger from false believers. That's quite a little package, isn't it? I've laboured and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. That's the life Paul has lived for 20 years. And he's getting to the stage where he wants to retire. Though whether a Roman jail is the ideal place, I would be doubtful. And finally, it's a happy letter. Most of the letters that he writes are written to the churches for a reason. He wants to reprimand them about something. He wants to correct them about something. This isn't really. It's a thank you letter to the Philippians for all that they've done. And he just wants to chat to them. A letter. A letter. But our title today is How to Get Rich. And it's been handed to an accountant to see if he can come up with something. Well, what is rich is my first question. When you say somebody is rich, what do you mean? Bank balance, that's normally the first thing people go for. Secondly, size of the car. Thirdly, size of the house. That's how we define in our modern society wealth, richness. And it's interesting, the Telegraph newspaper most weeks has a page where they interview a famous person about money and go back and say, what was your childhood and what was the first money you earned and all this sort of thing. And then towards the end of the question and answer session, they say, does money make you happy? And I don't think I've read of a single occasion where the celebrity concerned says, yes, money makes me happy. Quite a few of them have said, well, I'd rather have it than not have it. But does money make you happy? As our vicar would say, no! It certainly doesn't. What does make you happy? Well, can I suggest just two words? Security and support. And I put that little picture of a babe there because that's the position they're in. They have total security, depending on their parents. With loving, competent parents, total security and total support. Isn't that what rich is about? They have everything that they need. Paul says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. One of the great verses, I think, in the Bible. Just read that quietly a second time. You see, what we need is enough. Isn't that true? If we have enough, we're rich. We're rich. What is enough? Well, one wealthy person said, enough is a bit more than I've got. That tends to be the way we think in our modern society. Interesting, go back to the children of Israel. Moses take them out of Egypt in the desert. The whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we'd died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There at least we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Nice to have been released from Egypt, but look where we are in this dreadful, dreadful, hot, barren desert. And the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. The people had indeed, they did not have enough. What happened? God said, I will rain down bread from heaven, the manna, as it's called in the Bible. The children of Israel in that barren desert were given day by day what they needed. Enough for that day. That's all they needed. Enough for that day. And even the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Enough, enough is what we need, I believe, to be rich. And it's easy to say this, and I'm conscious over the years the number of times I've been asked by people, if you trust God on a day-to-day basis, you don't presumably have a pension fund. You trust God when you get to retirement. You don't have insurance policy, surely. I mean, your house burning down, you trust God. He'll look after you on that day. And of course, there are some who say, why go to a doctor? God will heal you. God will provide. I say, I thank God for the fact that the pension company took money from me over the years and now gives me back that money in my retirement when I'm not earning. I say, thank you, Lord, for the fact that I have got an insurance policy. And if something goes wrong, I can recover it. And I certainly thank God for doctors, hospital. God has supplied these people, these situations, for my daily need. God supplies. Book of Hebrews says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that means to me, not that voices are going to come down daily.